thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
The church is not in ICU.
Because of CIU. Amen.
Let's pray. God, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you for the privilege, God, to come before you, Lord. I thank you, God, for the grand privilege, God, to stand and minister today, God, to the students of CIU, Father, those who are here in person and those who are virtual online, Father. God, we pray, God, that you speak to us today. God, life is precious and time is short, and we don't have time to waste. So I want to pray, God, that you take these feeble words of mine, God, and use them in the lives of these students. I know, God, that you can say far more than what I can say. So I pray, God, that I fulfill my assignment today and say what you have ordained me to say. And I pray, God, these students can be better as a result of our time together today. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the second day of the two-day revival, smile at me, which I have dubbed it. Amen. And so I want to thank God, as Dr. Rogers has done, for Dr. Smith being here today. If you were at Church Refreshed, he says when he has chemo, it takes about 3 days for him to kind of recover and pull it back together again. And he says that internally he feels like his skin is burning from the inside out. But then he found the strength to come here and be with us on today. So I want to thank you publicly for coming and sharing. You don't have to be here. And so I want to thank you for being here personally. I also want to congratulate him. And you know, guys, people call it kissing up. I just say, you know what? Life is already negative enough. You can always find something positive to say. And so you can just find true things to say. And so when I came here about 7 years ago, he had made this comment about he was launching this campaign to raise millions of dollars. And now about 5, 6, 7 years later, he's raised somewhere around $50 million for you. Amen. For you. Amen. And so we thank God for what God is doing through your life. Hey, I put a QR code up here. I do thank God for my friend and my brother, Dr. He had me up here working last night. Class supposed to end at 8:15. We got about, what, about 9 o'clock last night? And he called me and said, man, the student's waiting on you. So I had to come over here and do a lecture in the preaching class last night, and I loved every minute of it. Amen. And so that was exciting. And then we went over to Ruth Chris to have a little meal, and that was fun as well. Amen. And I got another good friend of mine here, Dr. Sam Davis. I'm just retired from a significant ministry, 37 years over in Augusta, Georgia. And I came down to Augusta to meet him because one of his former ministers was on the staff at our church, and he was telling me about this guy, Dr. Sam Davis. And he had put this notebook together, a pastoral manual. And I want to go see this guy who had put it together. He served our country. He was a paratrooper during the time period of Vietnam. Then pastored for 7 years at one church. Then came to Augusta, pastored for 37 years. And I'm just an incredible man of God. I want to thank you, my brother, for your investment in my life and what you mean to me and to my family. I want to say that publicly, how much you mean to me and how much me and my family love you. If y'all would I'll take a picture of that QR code, I got a ton of notes today, and I'm going to do some treaching. Not preaching, treaching. Teaching while I'm preaching. Smile at me. And so I want to encourage you guys to get those notes. I'm going to talk fast because my mind works fast. Amen? I asked God, Lord, what do you want me to say when I come to CIU and come to share with these students at CIU? And I can't tell you all how privileged I am to be here with you all. My life mission is partnering with people like you to maximize their life in Jesus Christ. And so I really want to see you be all you can be for Christ. My success is you being successful. And so if y'all would grab these notes, I want to talk today about the victorious Christian leadership. This institution is founded on the victorious Christian life. And the victorious Christian life ought to manifest itself in victorious Christian leadership. I heard this stat a couple years ago. Am I controlling this? Heard a couple years ago. It says something like 80% of seminary and Bible college graduates are no longer in ministry after 5 years. I'm not sure how true that is or how accurate it is, but 80% is a big number. It says 80% of those of us who come to Bible college and go to seminary, after 5 years, we are no longer in ministry. For me, that's a problem. And so my question becomes, how do we help change that statistic? You all sacrifice too much of your time, too much of your energy, too much of your kids' time, that after 5 years, you are no longer vitally involved in ministry. Whether that's the mission field, whether it's counseling, whether it's a healthcare administration degree, whether it's a nursing degree, whether it's a counseling degree like Big Zay is doing right now, the reality is after 5 years, you ought to still be vitally involved. You ought to just be getting going. So guys, watch this now. We know you can read. We know you can bleed and sacrifice for people. But the question becomes, can you lead people? And from what I've observed is that many seminarians that, well, we go to Bible college and we go to Christian college and we know Greek, we know Hebrew, but we don't know people and we don't know how to lead. And therefore, after a while, we're no longer in ministry. Romans chapter 12 makes reference to your spiritual gift. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then he starts to delineate gifts. And one of those gifts is the gift of leadership. And so he says here, if one exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads, do it with zeal. And so I want to help close that gap of 80% of people after 5 years who are no longer in ministry. I want to help close that gap, and I want to help give you guys just a couple of tips to make yourself employable after you graduate from here. You know, boy, don't become so spiritual that you're no employable good. Smile at me. You want to make sure that you're an employee. You got to take care of your family when you leave here. Amen. And so watch this now. Being a good Christian does not mean you are a good leader. Being a good Christian does not necessitate you are a good leader. Being a good leader doesn't mean you're a good Christian. So how can we be good Christians and good leaders as well? So I was meeting with a group of students yesterday, an hour or two after we came together on yesterday, and they were asking all kind of questions. We were just talking about, so you know what? What you want to do is you want to make sure you know your why. Why has God placed you on the planet? Amen? And so, but I can't do a lot of stuff. I'm not good at a bunch of stuff. I know I can do three things extremely well. I say, baby, that's my wife. You know what? I only can do three things. I can't do dishes. Can't change diapers, can't mop the floor. She said, it may not be your spiritual gift, but do the best you can. Smile at me, all right? Watch this now. What is your spiritual gift? Why has God placed you on the planet? What difference does God want to make through your life? Why do you wake up in the morning? He can call me 5 minutes before class. I can go teach the class because God has anointed me to teach.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit's going to meet me there. I taught a whole hour, not because I'm brilliant, not because I'm smart, because God met me there. And I believe wherever God calls me, God's going to meet me there. Do you have that confidence? Do you know why God has called you? Do you know how God has designed you? When it comes to being a victorious Christian leader, there are three dimensions of victorious Christian leadership. Number one is leading yourself personally. Number two is leading publicly. And number three is leading professionally. Here's my thesis. Take care of the root of leadership, and it will take care of the fruit of leadership. See, boy, just learning Genesis, but all that's wonderful and grand, but how do you translate that? How do you organize that? How do you deploy that into leading people, influencing organizations, and making a difference for God? Are we tracking together? And the challenge is many of us can't translate it. Here's my thesis. Take care of the root of leadership, because when you take care of it, it will take care of the fruit of leadership. Now watch this now. When character does not count on earth, your leadership does not count in heaven. When character does not count on earth, your leadership does not matter in heaven. So we're not skipping character. But you got to add to your character competency. You got to add to your character capacity. You've got to add to your character commitment. Character is the foundation, but you've got to build upon that character. You've got to build some abilities. And sometimes your greatest ability is your availability. But the second thing, that your greatest ability is your capacity. Watch this now. We all have to decide between ethical leadership and a spectacle, making a spectacle of leadership. So watch this now. Here at CIU, we are interested in developing your character, making you a better person, making you a better student, making you a better Christian. That's your foundation. The foundation for Christian ministry is your Christian character, your Christian commitment, your Christian walk, and the Holy Spirit working on the inside of your life. Amen? But then, guys, after that, you are not merely here just to hone your character. You are here to prepare for a lifetime of ministry. So that implies that God's going to give you some spiritual talents, some spiritual gifts, and the ability to lead somebody. Amen? And so when they do institutional research surveys, typically at most seminaries, they come back and say, "We did not get enough leadership." That won't be said here at CIU in this season. This man is committed not just to producing Christians, but Christian leaders with a biblical worldview that's making a difference in the world. Amen? So watch this now. Yesterday we said that the church is not an ICC, ICU. I want to suggest that your leadership is not an ICU. I'm foolish enough to believe that, boy, this day is going to transform your perspective. I'm foolish, but it's going to open up a window of leadership for you, but you're going to start seeing yourself beyond just merely being a counselor, beyond just being a Bible teacher, beyond just being a nurse, beyond just being a counselor. You're going to see yourself as a leader, and you're going to begin trying to hone your ability for leadership. Someone asked the question, are leaders born? I've never seen a leader that wasn't born. Everybody on earth was born. Amen? Every leader is born. Okay, I'm just playing with y'all, all right? Watch this now. Do you hone, do you cultivate, do you develop the skill, the ability to lead people? And so now today, when I say your leadership is not an ICU, you say? Come on now, we practice that. Your leadership is not an ICU. Amen. So, boy, as we go on, boy, there are three essentials to victorious Christian leadership. You got to lead yourself personally. You got to lead yourself professionally. And you got to learn to lead yourself publicly. I'm going to unpack this. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is speaking to his protege, Timothy. And boy, he's giving Timothy words on how to hone your leadership, how to hone your pastoral ministry, how to be all that God has called you to be. Verse 11 says, command and teach these things for you New Testament scholars. There are a number of imperatives between verse 11 and verse 16. He says here, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. You know, CIU attracts a bunch of young adults, don't we? Well, a bunch of young people who are on fire. They're going to storm hell with a water gun. Smile at me. We want to help give you water for your gun. But boy, how do you distinguish yourself as a young adult that's characterized by people who are typically older than you? How do you influence people who are 10 years, 15, 20 years, 30 years older than you? How do you get older people to take you seriously? He says here, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's get going. How do you do this? How do you lead yourself personally? You got to commit yourself to five things. I've given you guys the notes. You can go home and study them and unpack them, all righty? You got to do five things. You got to work on your communication. That's how you speak and what you say. You got to work on your conduct, your behavior. How do you behave yourself? You know, I know it's cool to dress a certain way. I know it's cool to talk a certain way. But every time you introduce yourself to somebody, you are advertising who you are or who you are not. And what image do you want to leave in somebody's mind when they walk away from you? Number three, people judge you by your love or your compassion. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. John Maxwell. I was sitting in a parking lot at about 21 years old. And boy, I had a job at a hospital there in healthcare getting my master's degree. But every day I would stop and park my car and listen to John Maxwell and one of his statements that stuck with me from over 30 years ago. People don't know how much you care until you know how much you until they know how much you care. Do you really care about people? Do you add value to people's lives? Do you elevate people's lives? Do you express genuine care, genuine concern? Let me tell you something. When you work on behalf of other people and you care for people, it's the exception today, because people are full of themselves. All you got to do is open up your Facebook and look at social media. I get so sick of seeing some people on social media. I'm like, what do? Take a picture every day. You get dressed, take a picture. Are you that full of yourself? Are we tracking together, good people? People want to know that, boy, somebody else genuinely and authentically cares. Watch this now. What are your convictions? Do you live by faith? This man right here, he's living by faith. He came here by faith today. As he's raising all the money for the campus, he says sometimes he drives around this campus seven times a day sometimes just praying for you guys. How many of you all live by faith? Let me tell you something. You never graduate to a point to where you don't have to live by faith. That's why Paul says, from faith to faith, to glory to glory. And I promise you, you may pass this test today of faith. Something to figure out. Well, how am I going to pay my tuition? Let me tell you something. 10 years from now, tuition ain't going to be nothing. You know what God does with school? You think the curriculum is what's printed in the catalog. The curriculum are the circumstances and situations that God causes to arise in your life while you're trying to eke out an education, because that's how God is trying to develop your character. Consider it all joy, my brother, when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work of patience. God is just working on you. Somebody say, but Pastor, I'm just struggling. I'm struggling, Mickey. God's just working on you. And I promise you, the stakes get bigger. And trusting God becomes more difficult. And believing God becomes more real. I tell people that, well, we laugh by having 8 kids. You ever try feeding 8 kids? You ever try putting 3 kids at a time? I got 5 kids who got tuition right now. I got 3 in high school who their tuition is pretty much a college tuition. I got 2 that's in college right now. Some of us, well, watch this now. My grocery bill is more than most folks' house note. And I say, well, man, it must be cool having 8 kids, not when you got to pay for all that. How you going to do that? It's called faith. It's called trusting God. It's called believing God. What is it like to have a 13-year-old girl who, boy, has a ruptured appendix and we know about it for 2 weeks and she's up in the hospital and the doctor comes out to exploratory surgery and says, plan to be here for the next 3.5 to 4 months. And we walk out in 31 days by the grace of God. I know what God can do. When you got a child who's born, a special needs child, and they say, you know what? He'll probably never walk and he might not be cognitively intact. And now he serves alongside of me every day in ministry. And he's scoring the top 10% in the country on the standardized tests. And boy, he got a little limp like Jacob, but he limps around, but he's an incredible kid. He's a godly kid. He loves the Lord. And boy, God has done exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we got. You got to learn to live by faith.
Yes, sir.
Do you have faith in God?
Yes,
I'm not talking about a concept. I'm talking about a life that's lived by faith. The just shall live by faith. And then lastly, your conscience, boy, it kind of bothered me. He said, you know what? What's the difference between your conduct? And then it says, well, in your conduct, in your purity. When it means your purity, it's talking about your conscience. I mean, what's happening in your mind? Too many of y'all are doing porn right now. Can't nobody see you? You say, well, but it must be because I'm doing porn. Can't nobody catch me? But God sees it. And God wants to know how pure is your mind. How pure is your heart? The first thing you got to do, you got to lead yourself personally. Your leadership is not an ICU. Number two, you got to lead yourself publicly. Paul comes here in verse 13. He says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scripture, to exhortation. That word exhortation is translated to encourage somebody. How many of you all see yourselves as an encourager? Your life ought to be like, boy, you are breathing courage into somebody else. You are breathing life into somebody else. It's like blowing air into them. Who are you going to encourage? And then it says, he says, you're teaching. He's making reference to your public ministry. What are you doing with your public ministry? And so, but he talks about this whole idea of devoting yourself to reading the word. How many of y'all read the word of God regularly? You know, what's interesting, you know, I had a mentor, his name is Charles Bobo. He never went to seminary. And boy, I used to ask him questions and he started off answering them. Then he stopped answering my questions and started giving me books. And he took me by Sam's and got me a Charles Ryrie study Bible. And he got me a King James Version concordance. So you know what? Go look that up. So I got to seminary. When I came to seminary, I wasn't learning the Bible in seminary. I already knew the Bible. I didn't know how to organize the Bible and, boy, understand words today, but as far as what the book said, I knew what the book said. Now, boy, I might have understood it wrong, but, boy, I knew what was printed. And said, how many of you all become masters of the book? You got to become masters of the book. You all know that book inside and out. And let me tell you something. Class ain't going to teach you that. But spending time on your knees before God and reading it over and over and over again and praying the scriptures and studying the scriptures and meditating upon the scriptures. And God say, God, I wrestle with that. Thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against God. How many of you all treasure God's word? I know our world don't believe in the word of God, but we believe heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall not. Do you really believe the word of God? Do you really trust the word of God? Do you really try the word of God? And so when you come public, you got to have a devotion to public leadership. But it also be a dedication. Look at verse 14 and 15. He says in verse 14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you are young adults. So you know what? I'm kind of a free agent. John Maxwell did a lesson about 30 years ago, and he called Leading a Generation of Free Agents. I've been trying to find it for months now. He was prophetic in that. Everybody wants to be a free agent now. I do what I want, when I want, how I want, when I want, where I want. Guys, submit yourself to godly spiritual leadership. While you're here at Columbia, go get yourself rooted. CIU is not a church. And boy, I have a hard time with somebody coming applying for a job at church when they were in Bible college and didn't go to church. Why you want to come work at a church when you wouldn't go worship at the church? Are we tracking together? Guys, go find you a church, get involved in church, serve in the church. Submit yourself, because those are the people who are going to talk to you. Watch this now. He comes in, verse, he says, practice these things. And then it says, immerse yourself in them. The word behind immerse, it's actually an I-me verb. It just says be. Guys, don't prepare for what you do. Prepare for who you are. Who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you something. You'll be part of the 80% who leave ministry if you're not called and it's not who you are. It's too hard. It's too tough. It's too inconvenient. When you go speak someplace, every week you win, every week you lose. Somebody said, that's the best thing since sliced bread. And somebody said, he needs to go pray some more. Every week. Do you have the spiritual toughness to ride it out? Watch this now. Okay, let me keep going. So, boy, you got to have a dedication when it comes to the Victorian. Your leadership is not an ICU. Okay, guys, stick with me here, guys. This is where we normally get tripped up right here. I got you, Doc. Sit down, man. Sit down, man. Sit down. All right, man. Holy Spirit ain't told you to stand up. Holy Spirit tell you to stand up. Oh, no, okay. Oh, no. Lead yourself professionally, all righty? So watch this now. He says here in verse 16, you got to have a fixation. Watch now. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. See, we come to Bible college to keep a close eye on the text, but we forget we got to keep a close eye on ourselves. Just because you finish here doesn't mean you finished. You got to continue to keep an eye on your character, keep an eye on your walk with God, because if not, you're going to fall into a landmine. So, boy, how does that look? Casual living leads to casualties. Casual living leads to casualties. We don't want to see you become a casualty. Amen? Well, so guys, watch this now. You got to have a vision. Stay with me now. This is very important. You got to have a vision for leadership. And boy, leadership, I'm going to do a leadership training class. I'm going to be a leader for my life. You got to continue to invest in your leadership for the rest of your life. Dr. Sam Davis is a student, boy. He came to church refreshed. He just finished 44 years of a pastoral ministry, and he had a mega church and a mega ministry. He got his notebook, and he wouldn't sell his iPad. He got a church refreshed because he's still learning. Smile at me. He's still reading. He's 70-some years old, and he's still reading, and he's still learning, and he's still growing, all righty? So you got to lead yourself. Then you got to start leading others. Then you got to go, but you start leading leaders. Are you prepared to lead leaders? Then you got to start leading departments. You can lead an organization. You can lead a region. You can lead an enterprise. You can lead a movement. Do you have a vision and a scope for leadership? It doesn't just stop with one leadership class. Why can't people move further? Because people don't have a vision for leadership. Watch now. You need leadership acumen. You need spiritual acumen, professional acumen, financial acumen, relational acumen, influential acumen, organizational acumen, and tactical acumen. I talked to pastors and said, well, man, we got this happening going on. I say, man, what is your per capita giving? What's your per capita giving? What's the average gift of an individual member in your church? What's the average gift of an individual in America? So you're bragging about your income, but are you all reaching your full stewardship kingdom potential? And you have no idea because you have no idea what your per capita giving is. Can you read a financial statement? Can you raise money? Can you put together a budget? Can you negotiate a deal? When my son turned 16, I said, son, you come with me. And at 16 years old, I let him travel with me and roll with me. And boy, listen to me work out deals and interact with people. He came back when he was 17. I said, son, you go negotiate the deal. You get at least 3 bids. And I want you to tell me the pros and the cons to each one of these deals so now he can negotiate deals on his own. One day we went inside a meeting on this at the church. They said, well, the guy outside want to talk to you. I said, about what? He said, he want to talk to the person in charge. I said, tell him you in charge. If he wants our business, he got to work with you. He stuck his chest out. And he turned back around. I can imagine him saying, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I'm in charge. All righty. Do you have the acumen? Watch this now. If you're going to leave where God wants you to, boy, I know I got to go, but this is important. I got to go to watch now. See, guys, you got to understand the multiplication and the mathematics of, I got you, seriously. You got to understand the mathematics of victorious Christian leadership. Addition, multiplication, subtraction, and division. When it's time to go on church staff, when it's time to be a missionary, when it's time to be a Christian nurse instead of a regular hospital, do you understand that, boy, they didn't bring you there just to add what you can bring? They brought you there to be a multiplier. When you come on staff, we don't want to just get what you can do. We want to get what you can get done through other people. That's called leadership. It's not one-to-one. It's one-to-many. It's called multiplication. What we don't want is subtraction. We don't want people to leave the staff because you come on staff, because they can't get along with you. And then, but we definitely don't want division. We don't want people who are divided when it comes to leadership. Let me close right here before I get slammed. When you take care of your leadership, take your leadership, and boy, it will take care of you. I thought about our foundational passage. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who leads, but Christ who leads in me. In the life I now lead in the flesh, I lead by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Are you a leader? Are you taking care of your leadership? When you take care of your leadership, when you take care of the root of leadership, it will take care of the fruit of leadership. Father God, we do thank you and praise you. I know our time is out, and I know it was a lot, but God, we're here to grow. We're here to be expanded. And I want to pray, God, these students, God, take leadership seriously, not just Bible, not just, oh, that's important, God. But I pray, God, they take leadership and make themselves employable. They don't just bring character, they bring capability and they bring capacity. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.